As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Kane Collects. And as always, I appreciate all the support and everyone listening. You can download for free on Odyssey or wherever you get your podcast, Google Play, Amazon, Apple, all that good stuff. It's been a minute since I've had an episode, but things get busy on the show, of course. Lions, Pistons being good, Tiger season starting, all that stuff. So it's been a minute. I apologize for that, but I'm back at it now. I have attended a bunch of card shows in the meantime, though. And one of the card shows I attended while I was gone was, it was in Indiana, the Shipshewana card show. It's a big card show. It was my first time there. I had to make it out there. And while I was out there, I was fortunate enough to introduce myself to the owner of the Indy Card Exchange, Andy Albert. And he is our guest this week on this podcast, this episode. Andy, thanks for coming on, man.
I appreciate it, man. I'm pleasure to be your guest, and hopefully we can have some fun talking cards and Jordans this time.
Yeah, absolutely. So people on the podcast know I'm a huge Jordan guy, which is almost blasphemous being here in Michigan, but I'm sorry. That's when I was a kid, I was turned on to Jordan, and I never let go, but I'm still a Pistons fan. But I know you're a Jordan guy as well, so we'll get to that in a little bit. But let's just start with Shipshewana real quick. Like I said, I got to introduce myself to you on Shipshewana. It's a great show that I know that you're a part of as well. Can you tell listeners about Shipshewana and anyone that might want to actually go out there like I did?
Yeah, Shipshewana is just, it's so funny because obviously out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, when you think of Shipshewana, you think of Amish country and you think of horses and buggies and everything, which it still is because I grew up in that area. I grew up about 40 minutes west of Shipshewana as a kid. So we would go there and have fun, you know, going to the flea markets and buying all the best food that you can possibly buy because it's all fresh and homemade and definitely not good for you. So, but then you all of a sudden, you know, 30 years later, you get invited to this big card show and it's literally in the middle of Amish country and it couldn't be any better for a regional card show. Good friends with the guy that runs it, Brad Beeman. Card collector too, Ryan's a good friend of mine and everything as well. Now that he and Brad have joined together to do this show and they've turned it in from a barn show, literally, and it was a barn that it started in. And now it's a huge convention center that's housing 400 plus tables. So I think people from all over the country were showing up for this first show that was at the Expo Center. And I think it's just going to continue to gain momentum because of the fact that word of mouth is talking about everybody wanting to go to the Shipshewana show. I mean, literally that's like it's a brand now, you know what I mean? And it's been pretty impressive that Brad and Ryan have been able to create a brand for this show.
Yeah. It's crazy because you mentioned a couple of things. One, I was not familiar with Shipshewana really. And I knew about the card show obviously, but, and had grown and I heard this year, like you said, they've moved it to a bigger convention, arena or a setting, and which allows more tables, but I didn't realize it was Amish country. So those that don't know, there literally is horse and buggies. Once you get into it, you'll know this. I actually took video and a picture with my phone for Twitter and Instagram. The horse and buggy. There was something going on the same day. Actually, I think I went to preview night where there was horse and buggies everywhere, as far as the eye can see in the
Everywhere.
parking lot, which is hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, there's like hitching posts all around the outside of the parking lot, and then cars parked in the middle of it. It was hysterical. I took a picture of it and called my wife. I go, honey, this is nuts right now.
I did the same thing with mine. I'm like,
Yeah.
you're not going to believe this, but this is the parking lot of a card show, like a huge card show. I'm like, what kind of Jordans do these guys have in the hiding, in their
Exactly.
barns? But so you were set up there, which was awesome. And I actually sought out for your table and booth because you do this great thing. I want you to tell the people about it. These Jordan ice boxes. Like I knew there was, I didn't know what I was going to come home with in general, but I knew I was going to buy one thing for sure. And that was an ice box from you guys. Can you let people know what that is and how they can get involved next year, I guess, when you do it?
Yeah, for sure. And it's a fun, it was literally a concept that we jumped on doing during COVID because when the shop was closed down, the only way for us to have consistent business was to break live, right? Kind of similar to what all the streamers are doing now. And we thought, okay, let's have some fun making our own products because we had some decent inventory. And ice boxes started with the good old Prism basketball when Prism was at its all-time high. And we're throwing in Luka base PSA 10s and Trae Young's and Zion PSA 10s, and those stupid things were going for like $500 plus a piece, and now they're not worth 10% of that,
Yeah,
unfortunately,
right.
anymore. But the more popularity that grew with the ice boxes, the more we wanted to make it more actual relevancy with Jordans, with vintage cards. And the Jordan ice box is the one that's really stuck. So what we've done is we just did our third wave at the Shipshewana show. Made 50 boxes. Every box had two graded Jordan inserts, parallels, high grade stuff, and just made it worthwhile for everybody. So if you got a bad box, your bad box was still half your money back. And it was legitimately half your money back because they were inserts that sold for, $200, $300 type thing. So it's definitely gained a lot of steam. And the fact that you even knew that we were doing the product in Michigan was pretty cool to see that you were excited about buying a box when you came to the Shipshewana show. Yeah, the value that we put in the boxes, a lot of these cards have a ton of appreciation value to them too. I mean, I've seen a couple of the cards that came out of the most recent Jordan Ice boxes that have gone up 20% since we released the product a few weeks ago. So it's really fun to see that because I want it to be where the demand is there, even though the value that you're going to get boxes that don't get your money back, but you will have a chance to have cards that still have appreciation value.
No,
And
absolutely.
that's what Jordan cards do in general in the first place,
Yeah,
right?
and so like I said, people on the podcast know I'm a big Jordan collector,
Yeah.
and they know that it's listen, like in this is in the hobby, there's prospecting, there's investing, all this stuff, but there's he's a safe goats seem to be the safest investments if as far as
Yeah.
that, if you just want to hold on to something, and like you mentioned, Jordan's appreciating right now,
Yeah.
so it's like. If you buy a box, and this isn't like a cheap box, the Jordan one at least specifically, it's about $650, I think it was, right at the time.
Correct.
And you
Yep.
may be like, wow, 650, that's kind of a lot. But like you said, you guys, the floor is like half your money, which is more I can say for most hobby boxes. If you go out there and buy a hobby box, you're looking at, some of these boxes, Prism came out $2,000, like things
Yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
Like that's, this is, less than half of that. And you're
Right.
guaranteed
Right.
certain floor, and then the ceiling, by the way, are some great chase cards. I actually hit one of the chase cards. It was I pulled the 9890 9899 Topps East West Refractor Jordan Kobe, which is
I didn't know. Did I know that or no?
I posted it. I don't know if you saw it, but I have it. Actually, I'm gonna pull. People can't see this, but I'm showing
Yeah.
Andy right now.
No,
I
I'd
have
love
it
to
up
see it,
here.
man.
There it is. That's from this is
You
from one of Andy and Indy Card
dude.
Exchange's Jordan Icebox. I
You
was stoked when I got this. I actually opened up
yeah, I
in the
would say
hotel
so. You
room
killed it.
when I came back. It definitely killed it. Yeah. So I mean, they're
Oh, that's awesome.
not. Not
I'm so happy for you. I didn't know what you had pulled and everything too. And that was one of the cards that we had not seen yet pulled. So we were curious because some of the buyers that bought from us, we shipped their boxes because they bought through our website
Yep.
and never told us what they got. So I actually obviously want to know, even though I packed the boxes myself, right? But no, that's good news. I'm so pumped that you pulled that one. That's one of my favorite cards. I've got a PSA 10 of that one in my collection.
Yeah, and those are going for I think what like 4 grand or something now, or I think maybe even higher. So I
Well,
mean,
PSA 10s are going for a whole lot more than that.
oh,
They're
then
like
maybe it's
seven.
nines. Then I'm looking at the nines at PSA
Yeah,
9s.
the 10s are going for like 8 to 10 grand right now. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, so the nines are I think 36 to 4, so somewhere around that
Yeah.
area. But
Yep.
yeah, so
Good
anyways, it's just
stuff.
It's a great card. It's one of the best Kobe Jordan cards where they're on the same card together. And
For
yeah,
sure.
so I pulled one Chase card. It was awesome. Opened it up in the hotel room that night, actually, after I bought it. I wasn't going to, but actually, a real quick story. The guy I went to the show with, he had bought like a couple. He bought one or two blasters of WNBA Prism. Ends up
Yeah.
pulling a Caitlin Clark Ice,
Wow.
and so I go, "Is this a sign for the ice for the ice box?" You know what I mean? So I'm like, "Oh," and so he grabs the Caitlin Clark, he rubs it on the ice box, and I'm like, "All right, well now I gotta
Get out
open
of
it."
here.
So I open it and I pull this.
It
So it was pretty cool. It was awesome.
was totally meant to be. That's awesome.
Yeah. So that's a great thing, which I think, like I said, I interview a lot of local card shops owners. I think more card shops should do something like this.
Yeah.
Do you want to put in the work? I think it's worth it because it's something different and it's something fun, you know?
Yeah.
Obviously you do the math and you want to make it profitable for you guys to do it, but also I think this is something different and fun than just going into a shop. I think for you, speaking as an owner, you hate to see people leave disappointed, you know, and not get anything back out of certain boxes because that happens. Let's just be realistic. But with this, I think you're walking away with two slab Jordans, you know, at worst, right? So I think that's great. And then also, Andy, you don't just do Jordan ones, don't you do like different types of mystery boxes?
Yeah, we do. We have a Pacers mystery box. We have a Colts mystery box. We're getting ready to work on another vintage mystery box that we'll do with like one or two graded vintage cards inside of them. Yeah, we do a bunch of different mystery ice boxes, and I, like you said, more shops should do it, and we're going to be enhancing that and doing more and more, probably in the near future, in the next 6 to 12 months. And you know, it kind of helps offset a little bit of the fun issues that everybody's having with the manufacturers and distributors and not getting the product that they need to get for their shops.
Yeah, definitely. And then people that are listening right now, will those like type of mystery boxes be available online to purchase as well on your website?
Yeah, definitely. We'll add those online. The Pacers boxes went online, and then I think we're almost sold out of those, so everything that's left is in store. But yeah, we like to try to, you know, create a little bit more of demand from all over the country and not just in here in Indianapolis. So far everybody's enjoyed what they get out of the product that we make.
Well, so what's the website real quick in case people want to check you out?
So yeah, website's indycardexchange.com, and we have a shop page that you can click on, takes you to all the products in stock. We're actually just now adding more and more to that website because our in-store business is such a large portion of our revenue and our business, and customer base has grown so much that our web business has just not been as strong as I thought it was going to be for a while. But that's for a reason, because we don't have the inventory to add to our
Yeah.
website. You know, it's a good problem to have, right? But
Absolutely.
we're going to be continuing to grow our website, adding more, repack boxes and more supplies and more memorabilia and everything as we continue to evolve with the brand new website that we developed.
Yeah, and that's another thing. Like, so the hot products, like, wax stuff, is going to fly off websites and shelves as it is. So, how do you
Yeah.
give customers more of what they want? Like, I think these mystery boxes are a great idea to help supplement the
Yeah.
other stuff. You know what I mean? And
I do
I would.
too.
And I would buy mystery boxes from reputable dealers, guys, just in the people that you trust and know, things like that. Andy's one of these guys in the business.
Yeah.
And so I know there's new card shops opening up all the time, but just be sure who you're buying your stuff from. And
Well,
you mentioned, go ahead.
not only that, Kang, I mean, I challenge other shops and repackers to, be more open and honest with their floors and their ceilings, because I've seen way too many situations where they quote their floor and ceiling, and it's not even remotely close. And I'm, we're going to stick to our word, and I challenge people to challenge us as a shop when we do these repacks. If you get a bad box, do your math and make sure you're getting what we said we're going to get, because if not, we like to make it right for everybody too.
Yeah, full transparency helps with just credibility. So that's a good thing for
100%.
you. And you want people to hold you guys to a good standard. So have a high standard.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And we just, we like to keep that standard across the board with other shops and breakers as much as we possibly can.
Yep, absolutely. So I mentioned in the beginning of this, we met at Shipshewana, which is in Indiana. Your shop is in Indiana. Whereabouts in Indiana are you? And I know that you're in a spot where actually a lot of Michiganders might want to come see and be able to actually see if they don't even realize it.
Definitely. So we're down in Indianapolis. We're on the north side of Indianapolis, as far north as you can get before you get into the suburbs. Our address is 7035 East 96th Street, and it's Suite P and Q. in Indianapolis, Indiana. And we're very close to, like you said, to a place called Grand Park. And Grand Park is a massive, massive tournament facility that has dozens of soccer fields and a huge indoor arena for softball, soccer, volleyball, basketball. And people from all over the Midwest come to Grand Park. I can't tell you how many customers just from Michigan alone come in to see IndyCar Exchange because they notice that we're only 20 minutes or so south of Grand Park. Grand Park is in Westfield, Indiana, which is a northern suburb. And I can't encourage you guys enough. If you come down to Grand Park, you're going to be able to take a little quick trip because in between games and come visit IndyCar Exchange on the weekends. It'll be fun.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. My two girls are really young right now, but I imagine at some point I'm going to be out there in the soccer tournament or the volleyball tournaments or the basketball tournaments, and I'm going to end up somewhere where you're going to be looking for, places like kill time maybe between games and things like that, or if you're there for a weekend, a place like the IndyCar Exchange, and you guys are 20 minutes, you said, from Grand Park, right? So you were set up at Shipshewana. As a local card shop owner, how do you decide what shows to set up at, and how often do you like to set up at shows? Because you own a shop. It's not like you don't have a place to sell cards, but what makes
Yeah.
you decide to do shows?
That's a great question, Ken, because what we try to do is schedule all of our shows basically at the beginning of the year for what we're going to do for all of 2025 or whatever. And, Shipshewana was definitely one that had to be a definite yes, right? Because of who we know and the friends that we've made through that network. As a shop owner, though, our shop comes first. So, and the inventory that we have for the shop is usually first, and we really have to balance that. And we love going to shows, but shows are not our primary responsibility, like you said, as a shop. So we probably now this year, I think we're going to be going to about seven or eight shows that are all high level shows. Other than the monthly one that we do here in Indianapolis, we always participate in the J&J All-Star Sports Card Show. But we're doing this year Shipshewana, we're doing the Fanatics Fest in New York City, we're going to the National in Chicago. The J&J Midwest Monster. Shipshewana has another show. I think we do the Chicago Sports Spectacular in March and November. So yeah, there's some big ones that we participate in. And we love the community. We love seeing the new people. We love seeing people that come from all over the country that we only get to see once or twice a year and can't make it into IndyCard Exchange. But it's just as fun seeing the people as it is buying and selling and trading for us. And that's why we don't do all the shows, because we do so much buying, selling, and trading in our shop. I almost feel kind of like a Burbank Cards, because Burbank is such a big shop in the in out in the West Coast, and buying has been a staple of their business, and it's kind of become that for the shop here in Indiana too.
So yeah, and it's good for branding. So you're very selective on the shows, and those are like some bigger shows, and then the local stuff, which I think is pretty smart to do. But you mentioned
Yeah.
obviously the card shop's number one. That's your number one priority and your customer base. So how do you decide what inventory to hold or bring to these shows? Like you're walking a tightrope here, right?
Yeah, there's no rocket science to that. It's an art. I mean, literally, sometimes we get lucky. It's honestly, we get lucky. We just find these collections that roll in that we can say we know this should be going to the shows and this should stay in the shop. Something we do for our local customers, though, because we respect and love them so much, because they're the bread and butter of our business. Like, for example, the National. The week of the National, before we leave, we do a preview day for 2 days and let everybody locally that can't make it to the National come in and see us basically as if we were set up for the National inside our four walls of the shop. So we set up all the tables, put all of our display cases out, and let them have first crack at buying stuff, which I think is the only fair thing. If you truly care about your customer, you're going to give them first right of refusal to have the stuff that they haven't seen yet that's been tucked away in the safe for a few months or whatever. So we do that mainly for the National, but it's tough. Like for shops to be able to maintain revenue, keep the business flowing the way it should flow, most of that inventory has to go out on the shelves. And how often can you backstock $100,000 worth of product? It's not an easy thing, but we seem to have gotten it down, I guess, but there's still no formulated plan, if you will.
Yeah, no, it's sometimes trial and error, right? And you learn a lot.
Yeah.
No matter how long you've been in business, you're always kind of learning something new, and then things
Yeah.
come up.
But our customers will always come first. That's the number one thing that I've told we have 17 employees now, and I've told every single one of them, guys, don't ever hesitate to take care of our local customers first, because they're the ones that have started, maintained, and will finish off, the success of our business.
That's awesome. That's really cool, man.
Yeah.
So you all be doing the national this year, though?
We will be. Yeah, we're set up. We've got two booths. It'll be a 10 by 20 booth. We'll have our big sign up there and probably about different glass cases full of good stuff. Can't wait.
Awesome, awesome. So yeah, if you can't make it out to Indiana before and you're planning to go on the national, stop by and see Andy and the IndyCar Exchange guys. I heard it's even bigger this year, so it might be tough, but they'll be there and along with a gazillion other tables, I guess. Like I heard they're opening up another like another room, 100 tables,
Oh.
I've been saying. I don't know.
They did. They did. They added I did an extra room. I think they added something upstairs, supposedly, from what I heard too. It's gonna be nuts.
It's gonna be
It'll be the
very.
biggest national of all time.
Yeah, I mean, I've done
Well,
shows
it'll be
like
bonkers.
preview shows before, but this one, I mean, if you haven't gone to one, this one, be prepared to kind of be take a step back and be like,
Yeah.
overwhelmed. It's gonna be a lot of
Yeah.
tables.
I assume we're gonna see you there too, right?
Yeah, I'll be there. I'll be out there. So I'll be
Good.
walking around the floor. I try
Yeah.
to. I'm crazy. Like I try to zigzag and try to hit every table. It's kind of insane, but I really do try. Like I snake it. You know what I mean? All the way through as best I can. But yeah, you end up getting lost in a box or a case or whatever. You're like, did I hit this table? I don't know. It gets nuts.
And no. Well, and don't remember the rule of thumb is if you like something to buy it. Don't walk away because
Yep.
it's not going to be there when you come back to it.
Absolutely. I tell
Or
my people all the time.
not only that, but you won't remember where you were when you saw the
Exactly.
car
That's
in the
another
first
thing. There
place.
was one time where I kind of just went to another table real quick, and then I thought about that car, and I was like, I'm gonna go find it. And I was like, where the hell is it? Like
Yeah,
I couldn't find
exactly.
it anymore.
You hit the nail on the head on that one for sure.
Yeah. So definitely, if you're interested, and if you're close in price, man, just buy it. I tell people you'll regret it otherwise. And like you said, it probably won't
Yep.
be there when you come back. But I do want to talk about
Totally
something
agree.
because those cards
Yeah.
that I look for and I go back to are typically Michael Jordan cards or 90s basketball inserts cards. And I know
For
you're a
sure.
big Jordan collector as well, so I want to talk to you about that. Something that you
Yeah.
have that's awesome at the IndyCard exchanges, you have the infamous Jordan bar. And I got to stop by and see
Yes.
this thing. Can you let people know what the Jordan bar is and what I'm talking about?
Yeah, for sure. The Jordan bars, it's my pride and joy for sure of the shop. So my wife and I, 5 years ago when we moved to this new location to add more square footage, wanted to have kind of a shock and awe type thing that people walked in and they're like, wow, what is this? You know? And we decided to take 1,000 different Michael Jordan cards, legit Michael Jordan cards. Everybody thinks they're reprints and copies and stuff, but no, they're actually legit Michael Jordan cards. And we took every single one, sprayed some Gorilla Glue on the back of it, and smacked it down into this bar. One of my friends who does construction had built the bar to be measured out exactly the width and length that it needed to be for 10 cards deep, and then whatever the amount is to, lengthwise to equate to 16 feet wide and 5 feet deep. So it was fun, and it's become pretty iconic. A lot of people just sit there and kind of relish looking at it. Andy, what cards are your most expensive ones? Andy, do you have any duplicates? Andy, is there any things that you regret? All that kind of stuff. And I love answering all those questions, but it's become super fun to be able to talk about. It's a great conversation starter, and it's a thing that people take pictures of and, do videos of and Instagram reels of. So I'm pretty proud of it. It's
It,
just cool
it's
to be able to
crazy because that was
share.
like you said like 5 years ago. I think I saw, I don't know if you did a reel or a video or a short or something
Yeah.
where you guys were putting it together in the beginning of 2020 or
Yeah.
whatever. And I was like, oh, that's really cool because I'm a big Jordan guy. And I did
Yeah.
not know, fast forward to like, a couple of years. I'm like, oh, that's the same guy. That's Andy. That's the guy. That's the
Yeah.
shop. I was like, oh, man.
Yeah, if you go to our Instagram page, Indie Card Exchange, you'll actually can scroll back to 2020. I think it was the beginning of 21 when we literally took the big bucket of epoxy and poured it over the top of the cards. And I got comments like crazy, like, I'm freaking out watching this right now. It's like, it's a make or break. If you do it wrong the first time, you can't do it again.
Yeah. So I'll ask the questions. One, are there any duplicates? And two, what is the most expensive card in there? And three, is there any regret card that you put in there? You're like, oh man, I shouldn't have put that in there.
Those are great questions. So there are a few duplicates. So
Okay.
I, when you get to doing it for 8 straight hours and your eyes run dizzy and everything, we had a 3-row box full of MJ cards from multiple collections that I bought that were duplicates and ungraded cards of what I have in my collection too, right?
Yep.
And so yeah, that you kind of wrap the bar around to the right, and if you really pay attention, there's probably I'd say 20 or 30 different cards that have two on the bar. So As far as most expensive cards and regretting cards, the answer is yes and yes. I mean that. So there's a few in there. The most infamous one that when everybody talks about the Jordan bar is I had a Michael Jordan Upper Deck Records collection that I actually glued and taped and smacked into the bar and poured epoxy over. And the last PSA 10 just did 18 grand. And I don't think there was anything wrong with that card, but getting a 10 we know is difficult. Let's just assume it was a 9, so it was still like a $3,000 or $4,000 card. So that one's on there.
Oh, man.
I've got the original 90, not the 93, but the 90, 1996 Scoring Kings Michael Jordan, the red one. It's a beautiful card. I didn't realize how much that had gone up in value in the last couple of years because that's in the bar as well, and a PSA 10 of that just sold for 14 grand. There's some good ones. I mean, like the Jordan Stadium Club Fusion card that like meshes together with Scottie
Oh,
Pippen. I don't know if
yeah,
you know.
huh?
Yeah, so that one in a high grade now sells for over 2 or 3,000 bucks. Like, I do have a second year Fleer Jordan that's in there. I have the
Really?
Fleer All Star. Yeah,
Okay.
I have a Stadium Club Beam Team original 92-93
Oh,
in there.
that's a great
Yeah,
card. That's a more
I know. There's a lot of good cards that are on the bar. So if you study it, you're gonna find probably 15 to 20 cards that you're like, what the hell was he thinking right now?
like that's two factors. It's like one is like, oh, that's really cool, and the second one's like, oh, I can't believe you did
I know. I
that,
get that all the time. It's great. It's great.
No, that's
Well,
awesome. So
but
yeah,
the
I
good news is,
definitely.
folks, the good thing I can tell everybody is I have a PSA 10 of all those cards I just mentioned in my personal collection.
Well, these
So,
are definitely all duplicates. You didn't put any like ones
correct.
you yeah, I didn't
No.
have in there, so
No, definitely not. The cool thing
that's
is one thing I did with the card, I have a I, the only reprint card I have in there is I have a reprint of an 86 Fleer rookie, and I kind of felt like this was an art piece, right?
yeah.
So I not many people know this piece, but I actually took the reprint, glued it in there, and then signed the card with my name on it because I
Oh.
felt like it was kind of like an artist signing his painting, if you will,
Nice.
right? So there is one card that's sitting on top of the bar that has my signature on it on an 86 Fleer reprint.
All right, now, like a librarian, if I go to a library and a librarian's been there forever and there's card catalogs and all that stuff, but if I ask them to grab me a book, they can know exactly where to go get it. If I asked you on the Jordan bar, find me 89 hoops Jordan, could you know exactly where it is?
I think I could. If you gave me like a 20-second window, I could find anything, I'm sure. Because I have a good feel. Like a lot of the newbies get dizzy looking at all of them and
Yeah.
everything, but I've studied it enough and remember putting those cards in there enough that I could probably find it pretty quickly for you.
Yeah, find me 96 tops Jordan, right? Something you could be like, all right, I think
Yep.
I know
I know exactly where that one's at. Like I
it.
can
All right.
tell, yeah, in my head, I know exactly where that's at right now.
Dude,
Yep.
that's pretty cool. That's
It's
pretty
cool
cool.
because there's some of them are like the. I've got the entire three card Dream Team set from the 92 Skybox. Remember that one? It has Jordan
Yep.
on it, but it has the, like, if you lay it out on the bar and
Oh,
glue it
yeah.
down, it's the coolest thing to see all three cards together. And like that one, that upper deck, like it was like the Champions one where it's like in a half moon die cut that,
Oh, the
and you put,
UD3?
yes, I have all three of those on top of the bar glued together. It looks
What?
so cool together. Yeah, it's
You
awesome. Yeah, man, it's so cool.
do? Those are
But
good cards too.
they are good cards. I
Oh man.
know. I can't wait for you to come see it sometime.
I
You'll
definitely
enjoy it
will.
too.
So how did I mention to people, I gravitated toward Jordan as a kid. That's how I got into it.
Yeah.
You're an indie man. How did you get to like become a Jordan collector?
I actually grew up in northern Indiana, though, so I was closer to Chicago. I was in
Okay.
South Bend. So being in South Bend, you love Notre Dame and you love most Chicago teams. So I grew up a Cubs fan, Bulls fan. And for some reason, I was a Celtics fan too. I think Larry Bird made me become a Celtics fan. So, but just following Jordan as a child, I mean, I got to be in my prime years of my teenage years following Michael winning all these championships, right? So, how could you not like him and want to watch all these championships just continue to, watch history being made? So, I did collect cards since I was 10. And my grandma had bought me my first box of cards, and it was an 88 Fleer basketball box in 1988. And, pulled my Jordans, kept the All-Stars, kept the sticker, kept the base. I still have the two original base and two original All-Stars that I can't got from that box as a 10-year-old. And the rest was history. I never slowed down collecting even through high school and college years, and then really hit the ground running when I had a career and some money to be able to spend.
That's awesome that like a lot of times
Yeah.
you hear the stories now after post-COVID, post-pandemic, all that stuff, that a lot of the collectors, they took breaks and you
Oh
went
yeah.
straight through though. You never took that. You were able to, and I actually am jealous and envious of that because I did take a break as well because
Yeah.
girls, life, whatever,
Yeah.
right? And then y'all get your mind
For
wears,
sure.
goes off to another place, but I wish.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Had gone straight through just like you.
Yeah, next time I see you, remind me to tell you, show you the pictures of some of the monster hits I pulled from the early 2000s.
Oh.
You would literally fall out of your chair. It's crazy.
That's
I mean,
awesome.
I pulled the dual numbered pieces patch auto of LeBron and Jordan from Exquisite, number to 23. I pulled the Scottie Pippen True Logo Man 1-of-1 auto from 05-06 Ultimate Collection. I mean, I pulled some absolute bangers that would be worth six figures plus now if they sold today.
It's crazy because, I mean, it wasn't like by, you know, back then standards cheap or anything, but you could open up a box and feel okay about it. Now it'd be like, almost like, you know, what are you doing opening that box, right?
Oh, I freaked out in 0304. Like my card shop owner that I bought from, he's like, yeah, I've got this high end product called Exquisite coming out. It's going to cost you $600 for one box. I'm like, $600? Are you kidding me? Now the thing is like, what, $60,000 for one box? It's crazy.
Now you're selling $600 Jordan ice boxes.
Right.
A full circle moment, Andy. You know what I mean? So.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh,
so,
man, that's funny.
Real quick, though. So you're in Indiana. Down here right now in Detroit and Michigan, Lion stuff is flying off the shelves. Like, you just cannot.
Nice.
People are Lions crazy. What's it like in Indy? What's hot for you guys? And a side question. Do you sell any hockey cards?
Yeah, I can answer that one quickly. The answer is no, unfortunately. Uh-huh. Like, hockey is such a distant, you know, it's like probably the sixth or seventh most popular thing in our shop.
Yeah.
And it even, like, Pokemon and soccer cards even probably trump the hockey stuff. It's sad because I like hockey. I think it's a fun sport, but down here it's basketball country, right?
Yep.
So Pacers are probably our number one professional selling thing when it comes to people, what they want. And it's nice to have a good team, you know, the Halliburton and Benedict Mathurin and Pascal Siakam. They've got a really good core group. And I'm happy that the Pistons are relevant too, man. It's exciting to see Cade Cunningham and the guys like that just dominating. It's really fun to see. The Pacers are very good for us, and we've enjoyed that. College football and basketball are huge around here. Indiana basketball, Notre Dame football. And then baseball is big because we're so centralized. I mean, you've got Detroit Tigers, right? But we've got the Reds, the Cubs, the Cardinals, the Indians, the White Sox, even the Tigers. Like, it's kind of, we're like a melting pot for four or five different baseball clubs. So it's kind of nice to have all that demand, even though we don't have one specific team in Indianapolis.
Okay, that's good. I was going to ask about that because, right, obviously we're really Tiger-centric over here. And then you'll get your, like, you know, the big guys like Ohtani and, you know, Witt and Skeens. But, like, the fact that you guys can have other fan bases collect other of those teams, it probably helps you as a card shop. So
it does. It does. And then there's the Colts too. The Colts are like a roller coaster right now for us because, you know, we were so spoiled with Manning and Luck for so many years. And now to watch this quarterback carousel and not know that Anthony and know that Anthony
Andy,
Richardson.
I gotta ask you a question on that, man. I was a big AR guy, you know, and I still am. I'm holding out hope for him. But what's the deal over there?
Oh,
what's
man,
card market like for you guys?
We're literally crossing fingers, toes, you know, everything we can to pray that he has a good year this year because everybody's ready to give up. That's the sad part. Like, it's been, this is year three and nothing good has happened yet, but we're just dying to have a good quarterback that can get us back to relevancy again consistently. And this is his make or break year. I mean, I can tell you that right now, every Colts fan in this entire area is expecting him to do great things. And if not, it's over. So, you know, we lost on Andrew Luck because he retired too early in his career, but, you know, you can't change that. But, man, we wanted AR to be the guy, and it's been disappointing, needless to say.
Yeah, because I thought when AR got hurt, Richardson got hurt his rookie year, you guys had a decent, like, win-loss record with, I think, Minshew was the guy, right?
Yeah, Minshew and they had like Matt Ryan and Joe Flacco and stuff like that in the last couple of years. But it's because, you know, you got a guy like Jonathan Taylor, who's he's an amazing running back. And we're kind of losing out on his prime years right now because the team itself is good, but you can't win without a good quarterback. I mean, the Lions are a perfect example. Jared Goff comes in and he takes that team. And I know you guys lost, unfortunately, in that playoff game, but You know, the Lions, I enjoyed watching the Lions like you wouldn't believe, because you had a quarterback who could throw to those weapons and hand the ball off. And, you know, it's so much fun. We don't have that in Indianapolis. And we've got good wide receivers. We've got a really good defense. And we've got Jonathan Taylor. But we don't have a quarterback or any tight ends that can really, you know, make a difference.
Yeah, and no matter what you do in this in the league, it's a quarterback-centric league, and you got to have 100%. That guy to lead your team. And they say, you know, even if you have a running quarterback, like but at some point, whether it's a two-minute drill or the end of the game, he's going to have to throw the ball. And so that's what Richardson's going to have to work on. And hopefully, I'm pulling for him.
Well, I'm pulling for him for both reasons, because I want him to do well, and I have a lot of cards of him, too.
It'd be good for your business, too. That's not a lie, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the hype around AR after his rookie season, or during his rookie season, man, we couldn't keep anything around.
Really?
People would be banging our doors down to buy AR. Uh-huh. And now they're all spitting nails because they lost money on AR stuff that they paid too high for. But yeah, we're all in that same boat. I mean, we were the same way when it came to buying cards and collections.
Yep.
We wanted any AR that you could give us. And we'd pay 80, 90% of market value just so we had it in our store.
Yeah, and people like seeing like that stuff. So do you change?
Yeah,
you try to keep your showcases new and fresh and filled up as much as you can.
We keep the inventory very, very fresh. I mean, not only that, but we have like a numbering and color coded system of like when the card got purchased and got put on the shelf, what month, what week of that month.
Uh-huh.
So we do a lot of auditing to make sure that we're not sitting on stagnant inventory, because, you know, your best business is your repeat customer, right?
Yep.
And that repeat customer wants to see new inventory almost daily, let alone weekly. So our buying team is doing such a good job right now. We've got three people that are consistent buyers for the shop, and they are on it. You know, they do a fantastic job.
I got to ask you about someone that's actually lived up to all the hype, if not more, and that's Caitlin Clark. How's Caitlin Clark market down there? It's got to be crazy.
Yeah, I can't believe I didn't say her name earlier, honestly.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. I mean, her hype, and then not only having the hype, but delivering on the hype around Indiana is through the roof. And I mean, if you looked at us compared to pretty much any other shop in the country and look at our per capita WNBA spend with our customer base, it has to be 10-to-1 ratio. I mean, we're selling and spending on WNBA strictly because of Caitlin. And it's super cool.
It's crazy. Fun, because like you, as a guy who's been collecting since he's 10 years old, hasn't stopped. Could you imagine if I told you this, you know, to you this 10, 15 years ago that, hey, guess what? You're going to be buying a ton of WNBA product.
Right. No, I would have laughed at you.
Right.
Yep. Completely would have, because I didn't even know two WNBA player names 10 years ago. You know, now we're following everybody. We're following all the rookies and all of Caitlin's teammates. You know, one of Caitlin's teammates just came and did a signing in our shop a couple weeks ago, and she was fantastic. And, you know, like she even said she has a hard time getting up, you know, to talk to Caitlin, because Caitlin is just in such high demand and has such a entourage around her. I mean, she truly is a phenomenon, and it's awesome. Like I tried to compare her to Peyton Manning from when he came to the Colts in 98. And I think she's you know, takes that cake. She beats that and supersedes Peyton from 98. It blows
me away.
Is she
the number one sports star in Indiana right now?
By far. No question about it.
Yeah.
No question. You could ask the other athletes and they would say, yes, the Caitlin Clark is the number one athlete in Indiana. I mean, you put her on the level with Pat McAfee, and McAfee's obviously a national powerhouse right now, you know, uh-huh. But even McAfee would say, I don't hold a candle to Caitlin Clark.
That's crazy, man. That's nuts. I mean, it's crazy, but it's not. Like, I've seen it. We're all watching it happen in real time, of course, but it's just, like I said, if you would have asked, you know, me 4 years ago, you know what I mean? I would have said, it's not happening. No way.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. I mean, I'm enjoying it for this community, too, because, I mean, it just creates a buzz. It creates a buzz that everybody wants to have. Now you've got new collectors. We've got so many little girls that are coming in now wanting to buy the $5 Caitlin Clarks, and, you know, they want to look at the bargain boxes and stuff, and then they jump on other things, right? They jump on, you know, the NBA stuff, and they jump on women's soccer, and like, you know, it's just cool. We actually have like three different bargain boxes in our shop that are directly women's related sports products, you know. So I've enjoyed that piece of it too.
That's so awesome, Andy. I appreciate it, man. I appreciate all the time you've given me today, and
I lost you.
We'll catch up for sure in the future, huh?
You can hear me.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
You can hear me? Yeah, you froze on me again. I'm sorry.
No worries, man. No worries. Yeah, I was just closing it up.
Yeah.
I just want to say, yeah, the Caitlin Clark is, it looks like she's here to stay for a while. And that's a great thing for the hobby, for everybody, for young kids, young girls, for, you know, middle-aged men. They come up to you and ask for Caitlin Clark cards. So that, I think that's great.
Definitely.
Andy, appreciate you giving me some of your time. Always a blast to talk Jordans and cards, and can't wait to see you again soon, man.
Yeah, man, it's a pleasure meeting you, and I feel very, excited to be able to be on this podcast with you. And hopefully, we can do it again. It'd be great.
Absolutely.
And we'll see you at the National in Chicago this year.
Yeah, and maybe I'll come down to Indiana. Well, I'm definitely going to come down to Indiana. I just don't know when yet. I got to see the shop in the Jordan Bar.
Yeah, for sure. Come see the Jordan Bar. I'll take you on a little tour. And also, you kept asking about Jordan ice boxes. We are currently in the works of making another one that will release the weekend of the Midwest Monster on June 6th and 7th this summer.
Awesome. Awesome. That sounds good. I might have to try my luck again, man. Press my luck, huh?
That's right. You pulled one of the case hits, so I'm excited for you.
Yeah, thanks, man. Thanks. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. As you know, I always appreciate any of the support. Let a friend or family member know about it. You know, it's free in Odyssey. You can find us on anywhere you get your podcast. And as always, keep collecting.